He worked hard all year, just wanted a few weeks alone. But his old lady's into modeling, she can't get away from her phone. Besides, she bitches about the mosquitoes. She sits down there, there is nothing to do. Her goddamn phone never stops ringing. He'll try the service in a day, maybe two. Well, he's on his third drink before the wheels of the plane leave the ground. Making parts with the steward is high over long out of sound. She's also spending some time on the island. Too much city madness gives her the blues. They make her date to go dancing and dining. It seems neither has that much to lose. The weather is here. I wish you were beautiful. My thoughts aren't too clear. But don't run away. My girlfriend's a bore. My job is too dutiful. Hell, nobody's perfect. Would you like to play? I feel together today.
Wow. Welcome to the Parrothead Podcast. I am Ryan Middledorf.
I'm Patrick McDonald. This is your podcast for all things Jimmy Buffett. And we're here with two very special influential guests of ours.
Yes, I would say the most important men in our life next to Jimmy Buffett.
Absolutely next. It's a neck and neck race between these two. our fathers are here.
Yes, Bob Middledorf and Mark McDonald.
Hi, guys.
Hello there. Howdy.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
Happy doing
Sunday,
great.
Sunday.
Yes, Sunday fun day indeed.
Got you guys together on a Zoom room. Let's talk about your experiences with Zoom in the past year. Did you guys enjoy it? Did you guys have difficulty adapting to it? I'm curious about, you know, Zoom life for both of you guys.
At the very beginning of the pandemic, when I was still employed, our company was doing Zoom meetings, I think sometimes three times a day,
just to make sure
people were out there working. Thankfully, I was furloughed during all that and didn't have to deal with it much more other than just social encounters like this, which have been fun.
Great. Good. Very good.
Mark, how about you? How has the Zooming been?
Well, I'm president of the Homeowners Association in my subdivision.
That's right.
So most of my Zoom experiences were residents yelling at me.
Okay.
And I handle that very well on Zoom because you can just turn them off.
Yeah. Yes.
You can just mute them and let them go through their business.
I don't know. And then just rattle on. And, you got anything else you want to share?
Well, maybe you can keep that as going forward. We can keep Homeowner Association meetings internet.
Yes.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. It's a little hack for you.
Well, you guys are here for our special Father's Day episode, so we wanted to have you both on and just chat about Jimmy Buffett and your experience, with us and music discovery and all that fun stuff. So first, I think we've talked about sort of your kind of Parrothead journeys before, but just to give listeners sort of a refresh, where did you both, come into finding about Jimmy Buffett? Dad, let's start with you.
I think I probably started hearing, some of the Big Eight songs and just kind of got into it from that. I'd say it was probably in the early 80s, and my dad had a boat, and it just seemed like that was the right kind of music to be playing on a boat. So I started buying more and more of his music and listening to it and really got immersed into it because, at least at that time, there was nothing else like that. You know, it didn't hit country or pop, or it was just kind of its own genre.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the other thing I enjoyed, was just the uniqueness of it all.
Yeah. Awesome. What about you, Dad?
Well, for me, when Buffett came on the scene, it was when I owned the Riverfront Pub in Glenwood Springs, which is only down the road from Aspen, about an hour. And he was living in Aspen. And so there was a little bit of him as kind of a little bit of a local, although I didn't get down there much. But, in those days, this was probably 1975-ish, for music in the bar, we actually went out and bought records and played records in the bar. And so when some of those those came out, the first couple of albums, those were very popular in the bar, especially Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys used to play that a lot?
Well, we used to play all the albums, you know, but they're, you know, they're such, they were so upbeat and they were so, you know, they just fit the scene because it was a lot, it was a fairly young crowd that really liked the idea of changes in attitude, changes in latitude. Of course, in the 1970s, you never knew what change, what latitude or attitude, altitude they were going to come in on. So there was also that, changes in latitude, changes in altitude.
Changes, yeah.
There you go.
There you go. That's great. So yeah, so we were talking too about Buffett music, and we were in general. There's a new song. Have you guys dug into his new album at all?
Life on the Flip Side.
Life on the Flip Side. Have you listened to it very much?
Have not.
So there's
that I've heard you guys play on your podcast.
There's a song that we love that is very indicative of, you know, father and son experiences as well as, you know, just child's moments.
Yes.
Raising children. It's called Cussin' Island. And I wanted to see, you know, should we listen to it right now or should we discuss?
We'll listen to it and then we'll discuss
okay.
after.
So let's give it a quick listen.
Cussin' Island.
Never should have written this song. I know I'm in trouble if your kids sing along. I hope you don't misconstrue. This could be my Waterloo if you do. And I know the same thing could happen to you. Cruising down the coast of Panama with my kids. The stingrays, cooters, and the squids. Things were going way too well. All of a sudden, heaven turned into hell. If you dare to venture out on the ocean, it's unavoidable to face some commotion. My kids were fighting on the foredeck. What the hell would Huck Finn do? Hey, young lady, did I just hear you call? Your brother, a stupid little shit. You know you're not allowed to use those words now. Apologize, lickety split. That's why I'm taking you to Cussin' Island. Headed this boat south. I think you should know that's where I met Cousteau, and we will work on your potty mouth.
So that's Cussin' Island. It's clearly a song about a vacation kind of gone awry. So we wanted to ask both of you if you had any memories of vacations, trips with us where maybe we were being a little unruly.
You know, maybe a stupid little shit.
Stupid little shit.
You have carte blanche. You're allowed to say whatever you want, Dad.
Yes, and Dad, you can tell any stories about Lauren if you want to.
Yeah, you know which one I'm going to tell. We were in Disney World, and I would say Lauren, Ryan's little sister, was probably almost too young to be there. I think she was like 3 or 4.
Okay.
And we were having dinner at the Polynesian Resort, and she decided to have a meltdown during dinner time. And her mom and I tried to calm her down, and it was just one of those back arching, head going back, screaming, yelling. So I literally just picked her up, threw her over my shoulder, and we headed out of the restaurant and went back to the condo. And I think we had Cheerios for dinner. to come back. And even at her young age, she still remembers that. And I don't think she ever had a meltdown again after that.
Wow.
But honestly, I don't really remember Ryan and his sister ever going at it. I think you guys were close enough in age. You were almost little buddies versus adversaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember going on some long trips. I remember taking some drives down to Florida. I remember taking a drive up to Nantucket with Grandpa Bill. I remember a lot of trips all of us crammed into the Chrysler Pacifica.
Yes.
For hours on end.
Yes. Yep. With our rooftop carrier and listening to Harry Potter on audio tapes.
Yes. Yeah. There were a lot of long drives that I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't remember any specific, like, big fights or big meltdowns. I think we got pretty lucky.
Yeah, I'm sure my dad can't remember any meltdowns for me either.
No, you were a little angel, right?
I was an angel, right? Yeah, yeah.
You were. It was, your brother was the devil.
He was. Well, he had a secret name, right? When he was a kid.
Which one was that? Oh, Beazel.
Yeah, you guys used to call him Beazel. Yeah, yeah. When Beazel he misbehaved.
That was the secret name where he, you know, when he would become the devil. And it wasn't always on trips. Lots of times it was just around the house.
Right.
And right. You know, so we, you know, he was wailing on Patrick so often that we kind of had to come up with a strategy, you know, to deal with that. And Patrick actually saw through that strategy because he's a theater kid. But so, and that was early on when he was just understanding the ability, what he could do. So we finally told Beazel that if he was to make Patrick cry, then he might get a spanking, which meant he cries, you cry.
Like an eye for an eye type situation.
Yeah, it was an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick quickly picked up on that. And so he would fake cry.
Yeah.
So then we would hear Shane or Beazel say, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. So that was a pretty common experience. Yeah.
But do you remember what you used to call it?
Your own punishment?
Yeah, or you used to call me for embellishing. That's what.
Oh, embellishment. Yeah. Right, embellishment. That was like a soccer, you know, where the soccer player falls down to try to draw a penalty.
Yeah.
That was embellishment. Well, that's what we call Patrick. Embellishment.
So I got penalties for embellishment. It was a real system. You guys figured
another
it out.
Another funny story about Patrick. We weren't there. We were visiting here in Colorado where we went out to dinner and left Patrick with his cousin Libby, who was in charge of taking care of him. And she was probably about 12 years old or something like that. They were probably about eight and six or something like that. And, you know, so they got into a thing and where Libby was telling him what to do. And Patrick tells her, you know what? You're not the boss of me. My brother is the boss of me.
Well, there you go.
That's the rules.
Yes.
And then I think either that instance or another instance, Libby did slap me in the face, and that caused pandemonium in the house. They came back to chaos. But yeah, that was that's a good one. I forgot about embellishing, and I mean, I still do it for sure. But
yeah, you fake cry often,
all the time. When you can't get the audio to work,
yeah, oh yeah. Seconds before you guys hopped on Zoom, he was fake crying. I said, Patrick, you need to stop.
And
you're an adult.
It off. You're 30 years old. You know, listening to that song, you know, that reminds me that Jimmy also, you know, goes through phases of his music. And as, you know, we get older, we've been talking a lot lately that the songs we started listening to on this podcast, you know, we look back at them and we look at them in a different light. Is there any music for you guys that as you guys have gotten older, you look back on and you kind of see it in a new light, whether it be Jimmy or anybody else? Is there a kind of artist that you're like, wow, I understand this a little bit more in a different way, or you feel something different?
I hadn't really thought about it on those terms, but you're right. The way I do hear certain songs now, as you get older and wiser, they definitely do have different meanings.
Yeah.
And I think some can bring up, you know, really good memories. And just like talking about my dad's boat and the time, you know, we spent boating and down in the Bahamas and things like that. And you, when you hear those songs you were listening to then and you hear them now, kind of makes you reflect back and think back on those times.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's awesome. What about you, Dad?
Well, some of them are funny. Some of them are, you know, whimsical. It's kind of situations where you probably already are having this, like Bob said, you know, it's music is kind of like the background of your life. It's kind of the thing that, you know, takes you back there to that spot where, oh yeah, I remember when this was happening. So, you know, sometimes it's about relationships. There's a lot of different songs and different artists that, you know, during the era were special in the relationship for me and your mom, Patrick. And, yeah. You know, funny, some of it is Steve Miller Band was big for us at that point in time in the beginning. She used to listen to a lot of Hall & Oates, which she called All the Notes. And so, you know, those kind of songs take you back. I think you guys went to a concert. What was that band you went to see that was recently?
Jackson Browne?
Pablo Cruz.
Oh,
Pablo Cruz.
We didn't see Pablo Cruz, but we've talked about Pablo Cruz.
I would give to see Pablo Cruz.
Yes.
Oh my
gosh. Cracked me up when you guys were talking about Pablo Cruz because I had totally forgotten about him. You know, and I think he had a song where in the background of it, it was like, "I won't be able to make it today because I'm at the bottom of the pool." And you know, it's that kind of. It was, you know, those kinds of things. Yeah, they do bring you back, and it's fun. Like, it's fun that you brought up Pablo Cruz because that took me back to a whole era of hanging out with your mom and her brother, you know, and the music they used to play, you know.
That's amazing.
There was, I think it was Steve Miller Band had a opening, a Good Morning song, you know, where sometimes we play this Good Morning song. It was kind of good morning to you, good morning to you. And it went on like that. But, you know, your mom likes to sleep in a lot. So it was kind of hard to get her to get up. And so the next song on the album was Hot Chili. And so we started to just say to each other in the mornings, we wouldn't say good morning to you. We would just say Hot Chili. So, you know, it was fun times. But that was those were the days.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Speaking on looking back, Dad, do you have any memories, any stories about your time on Grandpa Bill's boat? I don't think I know much about that boat and where you all went and anything like that. So you being the son of a sailor, do you have any stories that you can share?
There are so many. I wouldn't even know where to begin, but just a brief history. I think he got his first boat when I was like 9 years old, and it was a power boat, little cabin cruiser, needed a lot of work. So we kind of learned by doing, and the more we boated, the more we all got into it. And one dream my dad always had was going down to the Bahamas, and he would buy these cruising books on the best route to take and the marinas to stay in. And the guidebooks would tell you all the amenities of the marinas. And over the years, he would kind of talk and dream about that. And his boats kept getting bigger and nicer and newer. And it was one of those things. I had graduated high school, wasn't going to go to college. My brother didn't like his job. My dad had retired from the Air Force. And it was almost a eureka moment. It's like, wow, we've got the boat. We're all free. I've been planning this trip for probably 15 years. Let's do it. And we left Solomons, Maryland in the Chesapeake Bay and cruised all down the intercoastal waterway, all the way down to Key West, and then back up to Fort Lauderdale, and then sailed across or cruised across to Bimini. We were gone for about 4 months.
Wow.
Just so many neat, unique places that we've seen and been to, and little uninhabited islands where we would just anchor the boat, take our little inflatable rowboat, go over to an island, walk around and explore and see iguanas and all kinds of things. So it was very cool.
Wow. That's awesome. What was life like just living on the boat and getting used to sort of that, that mindset for 4 months?
It was tough because three guys on a boat and three personalities. There were times it got a little bit dicey, but we survived. And luckily we all kind of enjoyed cooking, and we were able to maintain the boat. and do things like that. So I think for the most part, it was good because we had been boating so much and so often. We were already used to being on a boat that size and going off on, you know, week long trips. So this just meant more as far as getting provisions and just keeping everything running properly.
That's amazing.
Did you ever have a boat, Dad?
No, never had a boat.
Well, I remember a boat that we did have in our driveway for a while. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Your uncle, he had a habit of, he bought a sailboat in Dallas. He lived in Colorado. Bought a sailboat in Dallas online, I guess, and then left it at our house for 6 months in the driveway. Always intended to come and get it. He finally did, you know. But in the family, it turned out that we all had a boat of his in our yards or driveways. Everybody in his family did at some point in time in our lives, you know. But yeah. So, and actually, he didn't ever get to sail it that much. He took it up to northern Michigan and did take it to, a, you know, take it out in the lakes there a little bit. But it just didn't work out where he could spend a lot of time out sailing, you know.
Yeah.
So there was a boat in my past back in my college days where 12 of us for a spring break when I was a sophomore in college rented a 42-foot power yacht and sailed it from Fort Lauderdale to Bimini and then to Freeport and back.
Really?
The thing, interesting thing about that was nobody in the boat knew really how to drive a boat.
Trial by fire.
Yeah. So Whoa. The first night out, we thought that we were going to, be able to get to Bimini, and we would only be outside of the sight of land for just a few minutes, but a half an hour outside of South Fort Lauderdale, we couldn't see land anymore. And 5 hours later, we still hadn't found Bimini, and it's a real little island that only has like one light tower on it. And so we kind of thought we were going to Africa. But at the last minute, we saw the island and we anchored off the thing, just stayed on the boat that night and didn't try to go into the harbor. And then in the morning, I was the first one to wake up, and so I had running up the stairs, and I had never been in the Caribbean before, and I was just overcome by the beautiful blue water. I said, I got to get in there. So I just put one foot on the railing and dove in head first. And what I didn't realize is we were anchored in the Gulf Stream. So
wow.
So when I went off the back of the boat, I came up about 50 yards behind.
Oh my gosh.
And there was nobody else awake on the boat.
Oh.
So I had to swim with all my might to get back to the boat, and I barely made it back. Because of course the boat turned in the night and had the bow into the current, and I went off right with it.
Whoa. That's crazy.
That's about how much I knew.
Yeah,
about.
You have a habit of getting caught in Gulf Streams. I feel like there are several times where you get in some sort of rip current, and then you're a little farther out.
It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's really scary. I'm glad you made it back.
I mean, and when the other folks on the boat got up, they would just jump off the front of the boat and grab the back of it as they went flying by in the current. Wow. That was the way of the boat.
You didn't move the boat.
That morning.
A real leap of faith.
So, just do what works. Just figure out a system. Yeah.
But we did take it into the harbor and stayed there for a few days and had Joe Namath parked his boat right next to ours.
Oh, cool. Wow.
We invited him over for happy hour, but he was busy with the three girls on the boat with him.
As Joe Namath would be.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. Next time you see Joe Namath in Bimini.
That's right. Happens all the time. I want to talk about concerts. You know, we've been talking about going back to concerts. You know, things are starting to open up again. Things around us, like, you know, some bands are starting to release tickets and things like that, which is very exciting. Do you all have any specific memories of Jimmy Buffett concerts, Dad? I think you said your first one was in the 80s. And I remember from our first episode with you, you said the first one that you went to wasn't your favorite. You weren't sold on the experience.
Right. First of all, it was in, I think, February. And it was in a college at George Mason University at the Patriot Center. So first of all, it was cold outside, but you still had people in grass skirts and coconut bras coming into the show.
Wow.
And I don't know why, but I recall there being just a lot of medleys. Uh-huh. And I just really dislike medleys. It's kind of the buffet of music. And I remember,
play the full song.
Yeah.
Give me an
ending.
I remember
that. And it took me quite a while to go to another show. And I guess the next show I went to would have been at Nissan Pavilion, mm-hmm. now Jiffy Lube Live, outdoor amphitheater, summertime, you know, totally different vibe. That was probably in the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, once you see one of those shows, you're hooked. We had some friends over for dinner last night and got talking about Buffett and their concert experiences, which were very similar to ours. You know, the tailgating is fun. The show is fun. Everybody just seems to be having a good time. So really enjoy those.
I remember the first concert, I've talked about this a lot, the first concert that I ever went to was a Jimmy Buffett concert. And I think after that, my concert going experience has never really met the level of excitement because, you know, we did the whole tailgate. We were there for a whole day. And I was like, this is what it's like going to a concert. Turns out, yeah. Not always. sometimes you show up late, and
yeah. Sometimes Jackson Browne is supposed to start at 7:30 and starts at 7:29.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we get it done fast and we leave. I have to point out that Ryan, you and your father are wearing shirts unplanned,
yes.
of the exact same, yeah. Tiki Time Tour, Jimmy Buffett Tour t-shirt.
Yes, what is the date on the back for Bristow?
The date is Bristow, Virginia. That was, where is that? July 3rd.
July 3rd.
Wow.
7-3. Okay. Wow. Do you remember that show? I remember the stage. I remember gigantic, like, tiki statues on the stage.
Yeah, they talked.
Yes, and they talked. That's right. That's right. I remember
they talked. Wow.
There's bound to be some good video of that somewhere on YouTube.
We need to dive into, like, his craziest. You know, I saw there was a clip of online. I saw a TV was wheeled out in the middle of the stage, and then a giant inflatable parrot came out of the TV, and then the parrot split in half, and Jimmy came out of the parrot.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I don't remember that.
Crazy. I'm really hoping that now that we're back, you know, maybe, you know, nearly 75-year-old Jimmy starts,
yes.
doing some wild theatrics again. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm hoping.
And the closer we get into the Margaritaville family, the more we've learned about Jimmy and how if Jimmy has an idea, he has a bunch of people around him that say, okay, great, we'll figure it out.
And we want to be those people, to be clear.
Yes.
I have a dream of pitching him concert ideas, concepts. I'm ready. I'm making a Google Doc.
Mark, do you have any Buffett concert-going memories, experiences?
Well, I mean, my Patrick's sister gave Angie and I tickets to a Buffett concert in Chicago back a few years ago. So she had a group of friends that they'd been going on an every year basis. And they had a pretty big, good routine worked out where they'd get in costume and get their coconut bras and grass skirts on and stuff in the neighborhood before they left. So they would have a pre-tailgate in somebody's house to get warmed up. And of course, uh-huh. they probably didn't think there would be any alcohol at the tailgate. But
yeah, why would there
be just in case?
Yeah.
So then they had a bus arranged, or they thought they had a bus arranged to take everybody down. You know, it was supposed to be the party bus, but when the bus showed up, it was actually some construction company's van that they took employees to work in, which is what it looked like. It was full of dirt and cruddy and. But you know, by then we were okay. We just jumped in the van and brought along, you know, enough libations to keep us going and got on the freeway on the way into downtown Chicago. Well, the bus got a flat tire, surprisingly.
Oh, no.
And surprisingly, it didn't have a spare.
So had everything else except for a spare.
All of these very inebriated individuals that are ready for the party or ready for the tailgate, and we're having to throw the girls over the fence next to the freeway so they could go find a place to go to the bathroom. 11, and we were stuck there for quite a while. But when we finally got there, which we called in a caravan of drivers to come pick us all up, and when we finally got to the party, It was still raging full bore, of course, the great tailgate party that it was.
Uh-huh.
And we had a blast. And so my impression of Buffett concerts is that the tailgate might be more exciting than the party, than
sure.
the concert. Yeah. I mean, it's just so much fun. And all those people there were having so many, the different booths that were set up, the different people that were giving away different drinks and jello shots and different music that was playing in the parking lot of this venue was pretty amazing. And so then the next one that I had was the one that we went to. What was that? Was that 2 years ago, Patrick?
Yeah, when we went to Vegas. Yeah.
Las Vegas.
Yeah. And we were the.
That, I think, is the tailgate of all tailgates. You know,
with, that was a pretty fun party.
Buffett, great fun party, you know, and great costumes. And then you interviewed me after that.
Yeah, I did interview you after that, and you were a little toasted. Yeah.
I remember editing that episode.
So, I was kind of embarrassed when I listened to that interview. Slurring my words a little bit.
Oh, that's right. You guys got t-shirts made on the strip.
We did. Yeah, we got
t-shirts. Yeah, we did. We got t-shirts made for Parrot Head Podcast on
the
strip.
I have mine. It's a polo, I think.
It's a polo. It's a polo. Yeah. It's a gray polo and a black polo. I have both of them too.
Yes, the Parrot Head Podcast corporate retreat.
That's right. We're the Parrot Head Podcast, the CFO.
Now that you're branching off into the real Margaritaville world, those are going to be collector's items.
That's right.
We're going to be selling them for a lot of money.
Do you all have a favorite Buffett song, a favorite live Buffett song? You know, we have our favorite regular Buffett songs, but I think the live versions of the songs are, you know, very different. So is there a favorite song that you have to hear live at a show, whether it be for the crowd participation or just the energy or anything like that?
I think for me, it would have to be Finn's. I think when you have 20,000-30,000 people at the same time doing this, and they always put the lights on to show out into the audience. So when you look back and just see the sea of people all doing the same thing, that for me is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I was going to say Finn's too, but I think also just good old Margaritaville is such a blast.
Classic.
You know, everybody knows the words. You know, everybody gets into salt, salt, salt.
Yeah.
That's also a great sing-along. But, you know, they're all sing-alongs. That's the whole thing. I mean, until this year, he hadn't produced too many new songs that nobody knew, you know. So everybody has a blast at those concerts. And it's you don't go there to listen. You go there to sing, I think.
Right.
Yes.
You do.
I do. Yeah.
Well, let's give Finn's a listen.
Oh, yeah. We got to do it.
We got to do it. It's a classic song. I want to point out that right now I put on my Finn hat. I got Patrick and I Finn hats last week, and Patrick's already lost his.
I already lost
Patrick.
It. No. I put it in my laundry up there, and it's in my loft, and I'm looking for it. I should have had it on full display yesterday. It's in there somewhere, and I'm so ashamed. And well, now then, Ryan has to sit there with his Finn hat by himself.
I got my stupid Finn hat on by myself.
Hold on, I have to find it. Hold on.
Did that come from Disney, Ryan?
It came from Universal. This is a Jaws.
Oh, Universal. Okay.
This is a Jaws fin. Jaws branded fin. I think they were $13 worth every penny.
Yes, nice.
Bodhi already chewed mine up a fair amount, so you know. Yeah. But the whole fin outfit brings up an interesting question. Have you all ever dressed up for a concert or anything like that? Dad, I know in recent years you and Deanna have dressed up for Halloween and stuff like that, but have there been any concerts that you've gotten into the Buffett spirit for?
The only thing that I wear to a Buffett concert, I have a t-shirt that says, "I am the man from Nantucket." And that always elicits a lot of laughs and comments. It's not really dressing up, but it just seems like the right thing to wear to a Buffett show.
Mark,
that's too funny.
Mark, how about you? Do you have any outfits that you wear to shows?
I've just gone with a standard Hawaiian shirt for the Buffett shows. You know, I've actually bought special Hawaiian shirts for each Buffett concert, you know, as bright and fun as we could possibly come up with, you know. So, oh, Patrick got his fin out. So nice. But, I think the costumes at that Buffett thing at the Flamingo were just phenomenal. Some of the one that really stood out for me was the four guys that were dressed up as things, you know. So from the I don't know what book that was, but instead of saying thing one, thing two, thing three, it said drunk one, drunk two.
Oh, yeah. Cat in the hat. Three. Hold on, I'm gonna take a screenshot of us real quick.
Very creative.
Is that a screenshot? No.
Did you get on. I don't know, hold on.
I got it.
Okay, great. Good. Okay, we got a screenshot. We're
got a screenshot set. Of us wearing. Do you guys, you and Mom don't dress up for Halloween or anything very much, do you?
We haven't for years. No.
Yeah.
No. I guess we're just old fuddy duds now.
Did you have a costume you used to wear? I don't know anything about your Halloween costumes. People need to ask their parents more about their Halloween costumes.
I think so.
When they were young. When you were our age?
I can remember back in the days of the bar when I had a birdcage on my head and went as Birdman of Alcatraz.
You wore a birdcage all night?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Dad, you and Deanna have had some pretty good ones over the past couple years.
Yeah, there's a huge bar. In fact, if I understand correctly, it's, I think, one of the top 10 largest bars in the country. It's called Secrets in Ocean City, Maryland.
Wow.
And they have a huge Halloween party. And the costume that I have worn a couple of times, which was super simple, I'm historically a Washington Redskins football fan, but anybody who follows the Redskins knows that for about the past 15 years, they've sucked. So one year I went just wearing a Redskins jersey with a paper bag over my head. And I had more people coming up to me and wanting to have their picture taken with me with just a Redskins jersey and a paper bag over my head.
That's hilarious.
It was a big hit.
Perfect.
Simple, but very entertaining.
Yes.
So funny. Well, I had another question for you guys. So Ryan and I are both 30. Mm-hmm. We just entered our 30s. You guys are proud fathers of two 30-year-olds right now.
Yay.
Do you guys, you know, people don't usually get a lot of advice for being in their 30s, you know, but you guys have both succeeded through your 30s. Do you guys have advice for us or advice you would have given yourself at 30 years old?
Just to enjoy life as much as you can. It just, you know, it busyness is always there and you just have to make time to not be busy.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the biggest thing. It's just so easy to get wrapped up now, especially with texting and email and phone calls. It just seems like with these little devices, you can't break free.
Yeah.
And it's just, sometimes you got to unplug. One thing we like to do, we're close to Assateague Island, which is a national park, and there's no cell phone coverage out there. So it's nice to get out there because you go and you're looking at the ocean and it's, you know, it's a lot more peaceful when you don't have, I've had people texting me and I had to silence that. It just, you can't get a break from it. So
yeah,
just try and unplug and relax and enjoy.
Awesome.
Love it. Mark, how about you? Any advice for young 30-year-olds?
I think that's right on. I mean, that's perfect advice. I think, you know, when you see opportunities, you know, you really want to look into it, you know, and it's funny. Sometimes you want to, sometimes you regret the risks that you didn't take when you look back and you go, wow, you know, I thought that was too big of a risk. And then it isn't, you know, it wasn't. And nothing necessarily lasts forever. And you could always come, you know, if you make a mistake, you just learn from it. And it's not necessarily a negative thing, you know. But I would just be, you know, not afraid to step up and go for it. If you need to, if you see something that looks good and the downside of the risk is not too steep, why not? You know, and I think that's good. I think Bob's point about technology changing, I mean, it's supposed to improve the quality of your life. And, you know, sometimes it's questionable for me at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know, it's whether or not the technology really improves quality of life. And so I think it'll be very interesting for the next decade as technology advances, you know, of how that changes everybody's life. Because look at the changes we've gone through.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
You're on a Zoom call.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you might say everybody's on their phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Jimmy would.
Yeah, I mean, you can
Jimmy
walk down the street that. In New York City and everybody has a phone to their ear.
Yeah.
Yep.
That blows me away.
Absolutely.
It blows me away.
Yeah, I mean, it brings up an interesting point about, you know, the past year living through COVID and the pandemic and all that stuff. I hope my current employer doesn't listen to this, but I've realized that you really don't need to work as hard as you think you do to get the same amount of work done.
Right.
No, you're right.
That's a great point.
You know, working from home, I've realized that you don't need to sit at a desk for 8 hours a day to get something done and something completed. So, you know, it's nice now to be able to get up and go take the dogs for a walk or go outside or, you know, whatever you have to do so you can live, you know, a happier, more well-balanced life. So hopefully, Mark, to your point, over the next couple of years, hopefully we start to see, you know, things kind of trend in that direction.
I hope so. I have a personal belief, hopefully, that I think there's going to be a couple of months where people are still kind of hooked on their phones, but if people are like me, and maybe they're not, maybe we've crossed over this threshold where everyone's just going to live their life through their phones. But I'm so sick of technology. I really don't want to be around it after this. Like the fact that I had to have all my relationships through my computer or my phone. I'm like, now that I'm out of this quarantine. But, you know, I had people over last night and you were saying everyone's on their phones walking through New York City. Everyone was on their phones at my party.
It's
That's like a very common thing.
Yeah.
So
You might have to have them check the phone at the door now when they come to your parties.
I know.
That's a bad idea.
I know. That's very exclusive. It's like a Hollywood, you know, very Hollywood thing to do.
Yeah, there's like a certain amount of anxiety of not, even for like 20 minutes, not having it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very doomsday.
Yes.
Well, because we just went through a thing where the world shut down in a day.
Right.
So it's like, well,
what could happen?
Hey, what if another pandemic hits?
Yes.
I don't want to pull a Jared Leto where I come back from the desert and all of a sudden the world has changed. Yeah. It's so crazy.
So crazy. Do you all have any questions for each other about Buffett or about music or about us and music discovery?
Well, Mark, I do. I know I heard the story of the weather is here, wish you were beautiful, but I need to hear it again because I don't remember exactly how that came about.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is a great
story.
Well,
we had this little bar in Glenwood Springs, which is 45 minutes from Aspen. And it's even a little bit less than that from the place where Buffett lived. And back in the mid-70s, late 80s, we had quite a few people, like members of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and stuff like that. There were Aspen people that would stop in just for a beer, and because they were pretty incognito down there. Nobody really recognized him. And people that were kind of celebrities that lived in the Aspen area. So, but either way, my partner, used to always say that, weather is here, wish you were beautiful. So we were buying some pens one day, and I was trying to figure out how we could get that on the side of the pen. And the only way you could do it was leave out all the spaces. So it was just one big long word on the side of this cheap pen that people would sit at the bar and forever try to figure out what it said. And you could try that out, but that's how it came about. So I'm convinced that Jimmy Buffett, either him or somebody in his entourage, came through there for a beer one day and grabbed a hold of one of those pens, or it found its way back up Valley, because it was just a few years after that song came out. So, you know, what the heck? That could be.
And I think it's
very,
also
very possible.
It's very important to note that that was the only thing written on those pens, right? It didn't say Riverfront.
No, there was nothing else on the pen.
A master of marketing.
Yeah. It's viral, you know? It's the original viral marketing.
Absolutely.
You got to see this pen. I wonder where this pen came from. Get the people guessing, you know?
Where'd you get that? I don't know. But look at what it says.
It's like the Cloverfield marketing of the 70s.
Yes.
Bars. Yeah. Cloverfield's a movie that had really specific marketing that I don't know if anyone who listens to this or knows anything about this would get that reference. Anyways, yeah, that's great.
Oh.
We already gave you guys Marvin Gardens names. Do you guys remember your names?
Pell Mell Waterworks.
That's right.
Yep. Pell Mell Waterworks.
I was trying to remember mine the other day when I was listening to your show, but it's left me.
It's Luxury Oxford.
Luxury Oxford. Yeah. Yes,
that's
of course.
A good
I remember
one.
That. We were talking about beautiful shoes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Luxury Oxford is like a con man that, like, really, like a dirty, rotten scoundrels kind of guy that sneaks in and really wows you. So we can't give you Marvin Gardens names. We could come up with something else.
Yeah, what should we do?
On the spot.
On the spot. Middle names?
Marvin Gardens middle names?
Marvin Gardens middle names.
Okay, this is the first.
This is a Parrothead podcast first.
Marvin Gardens middle names.
I'm getting a pen so I can write this down.
Okay, yeah. And we'll send you a kind of a birth certificate anyway.
Yes.
Okay.
You can frame it if you want to.
Yeah, it will already be framed. Hold on.
And is this still the UK version you're working from, Patrick?
Yeah, the US and the UK version.
Yes.
Okay. So we combine them both.
Okay.
Okay, so Pall Mall Waterworks and Luxury Oxford. And you can come up with a middle name for...
Okay.
Let's say your dad, and then I'll come with a middle name from my
okay.
dad.
Okay. All right. So, Dad, your full legal
Christian
Marvin Gardens name is Pall Mall Indiana Waterworks.
Whoa.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
That's good.
My dad is from Indiana, so that works.
And that's right.
What's fun about this is, you know, this is the kind of name that if you were to go to college and you wanted to change it up and go by something different, you maybe would go by your middle name. So maybe some other people might know you as Indiana Waterworks.
That's right.
And then they come home with you, and then, you know, your parents are like, how did you meet Pall Mall? And
he's like, who's Pall Mall?
I go by Indiana, Mom and Dad. In college, you go by Indiana.
They call me Indy.
They call me Indy Waterworks. Okay. Luxury Oxford. Your middle name. Ooh, okay. All right. Luxury Oxford, your full Marvin Gardens Christian name is Luxury Boardwalk Oxford.
Oh, Luxury Boardwalk Oxford.
Boardwalk. So Boardwalk Oxford, you know.
Very good.
It's a brand.
Oh, yeah.
It is a brand. You could put that on a pen.
Yeah, Luxury Boardwalk Oxford.
Put that on a pen, Mark.
Put that on a pen. Scrunch it together.
Yeah.
Get it going. And we'll see a song called Luxury Boardwalk Oxford by Jimmy Buffett on the next album. That's so great.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us for our special Father's Day episode. You know, wish we could do this in person. Hopefully one day maybe we'll all get to go to a show together.
Absolutely.
We love that.
Yeah.
We love that.
And
I want to say very proud of both of you for your upcoming Sirius XM gig and your, 6 years of Parrothead podcasting?
Just about,
And
oh my God.
And doing it every Sunday and just and then getting the recognition you deserve. So
thank
I've
you.
Been, I've been spreading the word. Anytime I see anybody with Margaritaville on a t-shirt, I say, are you a fan? And it starts a whole conversation.
There
I'm
we
talking
go.
About you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Appreciate it.
I'm hoping that we'll, when we go to that concert together, we'll all be, you'll be in the parking lot doing the tailgate interviews and all that kind of stuff. That could be really, really fun. I think you guys would be awesome at pulling people out of the crowd and doing a man on the street interview at a tailgate party.
We'll see.
Well, yes.
We'll see. I mean, we tend to draw the kind of crying women to our energy. So we got to be
well, they're
careful.
Very entertaining.
That's true. A couple, that's true. Yeah, definitely have a story to tell.
Drama. Bring some drama.
That's
to
right.
The
that's true. That's a good point. No, yeah. We're hoping so too. I mean, there's so many. I think Jimmy, is Jimmy coming to Bristow in this year
I
on the tour?
I think so.
I think he is.
I think in June, and it was a show that was scheduled last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they just rescheduled it. So everything's opening up. I would imagine it's still going to go on.
And Jimmy's spending
don't have any tickets for it, but
oh great. Yeah, Jimmy's spending 3 nights at Red Rocks too.
Oh wow.
In Colorado.
See, three nights at Red Rocks. So I think that Bob, you should bring your wife and come out and stay with us and have all the families together. We got plenty of room in our house, and then we'll dip over to Red Rocks. It's just a couple hours away. Go to the concert. Hang out in Aspen, do whatever you want to do. That'd be a fun
trip. I like the sounds of that. What are those dates?
Let me see. I was going to also say, I mean, this is important because my dad is known for his margaritas.
Ooh.
And they're actually, they're known for their strength, to be honest. But they're called margaritas.
Margaritas.
People, well,
oh, I love
people
that.
Know the margarita very well. So the margaritas will be flowing.
I'm looking up these tickets. It looks like September 9th.
Yeah.
Is that right?
So.
Yeah.
That's got some possibility to it.
That'd be perfect.
That would be so much fun.
The aspen trees will be turning in the mountains and we drive over the mountains to go to Red Rocks. It'd be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. I'd be
Thank
into that.
Thank you very much for the invite. We're going to give that a very serious look. We don't mind traveling. So,
okay.
It's a blast.
We'll have to figure out what ticket availability is and all that good stuff. But
yeah.
Yeah.
We'll keep in touch about that.
Nice. Amazing. Is there a song that you guys want to play us out on?
Something so feminine about a mandolin.
Ooh,
there you go.
That's a great one.
That's a good one. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. It's because of both of you that this podcast exists in the first place.
Yeah.
So, credit to both of you for instilling a bunch of dad music in us at a young age.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Of course. And until next time, I'm Mayfair Marleybo.
I'm St. Charles, Tennessee.
Have a great week. Meet you at the end. Bye-bye.
Aloha.
I should have pulled up the song first.
No, this is nice. A nice moment of contemplation.
Yes.
Yes.
This is good.
It was late in the evening, just a few of us picking, but the lady she played so easy and fine. And the chords that she strummed were so tastefully clever, they planted this song in my mind. 'Cause there's something so feminine about a mandolin, the way that they feel, the way that they ring. Just to see slender fingers moving so quickly made this boy want to sing.
My name is Will Hines, and I am a ghostwriter, meaning I write other people's books for them. And I have a podcast called I Will Write Your Book, which are recordings of my meetings with my eccentric clients, such as a woman blocked after one sentence of a children's book about her dogs, a romance novelist who dislikes sex, and a man proud of having sampled everything in his local grocery store. This podcast has been described as fully improvised, played by some of the best comedians on the planet Earth. Hey, that's pretty good. That's I Will Write Your Book on Campfire Media.
Campfire.